I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
All right, cherubs, the stars are involved. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Wednesday, the 5th of May. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Vidusha Nahantharaja.
Can there be any more beautiful sights, guys, than the mad genius of Pep Guardiola sitting in a glistening jacket in the midst of some snow in Manchester?
In May?
Sitting back.
In May, by the way.
I think that ruined it for me.
Yeah. Did you reckon?
Yeah.
Which? The snow?
Just the sleet, yeah.
It just felt really incongruous.
Really?
Yeah, fair enough, you expect a bit of rain. Fair enough.
Mm.
But the fact that it was sleety snow was strange. I think the finest sight in the top level of European football, Kate, for me at least, is a multifaceted PSG tantrum. I don't think it gets any better than that. I think for the rest of us mere mortals, it's just great to watch.
I think that's something we should start to build into the ramble, by the way. If you get to like half time-ish, or maybe, I don't know, sort of 35 minutes, 32 minutes, and you don't feel like it's gone your way, or you haven't got your best takes in. No, not storm it. Just like start tapping each other's microphones.
I've just realised you've never done a show with Jules, have you?
He's so brave when she's not in. He really is uncanny. It's uncanny how brave he is.
It's not a cry for help. This isn't bravery. I mean, it is brave to speak out. That's
yeah,
what
it's
I'm
important
doing.
To speak out.
Yeah.
To speak out to the nation.
Yeah.
Do you need... Are you all right, Vish?
I think I am all right, yeah.
I feel like maybe we should take this a bit more seriously, Luke.
Nah. I thought about that before, but I thought, nah.
This is not the mum and dad vibe I was going for there.
No, that's definitely not going to happen. Get over it. I do take your point about Pep. I thought... And I don't know... This is a question I kind of had in mind to ask you guys about their kind of... success in getting to a final last night.
And it's a beautiful story, isn't it?
It's romantic, you know. It's, you know, when Pep put his wrapped up blanket on the back of an old stick and walked from Barcelona to Manchester, via Munich, I guess, with nothing but his wits about him.
Nothing.
A fiver in his pocket that his old man gave him.
Yeah.
And look where we are now.
Look where we are.
But what I was going to say was, does it justify the perceived underachievement that they've had in this competition beforehand? Because if you look at the fact that Guardiola is his first appearance in the Champions League final since, 2011?
That's 10 years, Luke.
It is.
That's a decade.
It's a difficult thing to get to, of course, but is it justification? Is it now, in retrospect, being looked at as almost like a project that is now coming to fruition, or has he just been a bit lucky this time around?
He says it is, Pep Guardiola. He says, getting to the final of the Champions League makes sense of what we have done over the past 5 years.
Yeah.
Case closed.
I mean, I think that is how it works. You've obviously got to get your first, and they wouldn't have wanted to have been as late as it has been. But it does seem a whiff of an era creeping around. And it's weird to say that, given 6 months ago we were talking about how much of a basket case they were.
Yeah.
But the way they've put teams away. Also, the way they won yesterday was very different to how they've been playing. So what they had less of the ball. They only had 44% in possession. They defended solidly, but they defended differently to how we're used to Man City defending. Yes. The whole premise of it is that they have more of the ball, so if you have less of it, it's harder to score. But they were chucking themselves in the way. That felt a bit more like what we'd call a traditional rear guard performance, and they seemed to really respond to that. And the way they were celebrating tackles and blocks, and I know we probably in this country make quite a lot of that anyway.
Big time.
Well, but Kyle Walker was going on about it afterwards.
Yeah,
he was like,
yeah.
For me, that's like a goal.
Yeah, but there was something about it was like, okay, they're all together. Bear in mind, like, because of how he was blocking them, like an adult man, I forgot that Ruben Diaz was only 23.
Yeah. So the Ruben Diaz element to this is really interesting if you talk about the game itself, because it's actually anathema to what Ruben Diaz is generally really good at, which is underappreciated among British football watchers, right? So Ruben Diaz is a brilliant organiser, amazing positionally, good with the ball at his feet, and all the things you'd expect from a modern defender. But you don't really that often see him do what he did last night.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that he can do what he did last night in a bit of a John Terry kind of tribute act way, and I mean that with respect, because he was brilliant and he's one of the very best defenders in the world, in my opinion. That's what's going to be able to elevate his reputation in English football because of that kind of thing. Because what the best defenders do, as we, you know, as regular football watchers should know, is they snuff out danger before it even happens, right? They're seeing danger. Mm. That's why he's so good for John Stones, because he organises John Stones. That's why John Stones turns into Benny fucking Hill when he's playing for England, because he's got Ruben Diaz next to him. So the fact that Diaz was able to put that kind of performance in last night will further endear him to English football fans, and they'll remember that kind of performance purely for the way he kind of executed.
Ruben Diaz has got to be a massive shout for Player of the Year. Also looking incredible, Phil Foden on the night. I mean, as he was coming off at the end, commentators saying, you know, we're going to see him in so many more of these sort of massive games. But I mean, how many massive games has he already played in it? Phil from Stockport, age 20.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's incredible what he's done. I talked about him with Marcus on the Lions Watch show last Friday. And I was saying that when he's starting to look consistently now like a player that at his best, it's very difficult to see other teams being able to deal with him, because he can do so much stuff so well. Like, remember that passage of play last night where he took the ball in the half turn, dropped his shoulder, cut inside and smashed one off the post?
Mm-hmm.
It was obviously terrifying. The minute he gets the ball, you think,
it was like,
shit,
it,
we're in trouble here.
Because of his stature and because of the way he did that, it was literally like watching Lionel Messi.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It does bear comparison to that. He's obviously not unlikely to become the player that Messi has been, the greatest player who's ever played the game. But that particular passage of play was reminiscent of it in the semi-final of a Champions League. And I understand that people will say that PSG were cooked by then. Fine. But he still did it. And it was still amazing to watch. They were
cooked because he did the cooking.
Right, exactly. Yeah. He'd probably serve it up, be the waiter, yeah, to sommelier as well, do everything else. Alongside. He can do everything. But there's not a weak part of his game for a 20-year-old, which is incredible to see.
So one of the things that's emerged over the last season with Foden, I think, has been how positionally dexterous he is. You know, we can see he can operate on the wing, he can operate in the central midfield, he can operate off the striker. And yesterday, and in a bit in the first leg as well, we got a snapshot of how he can do all that in the same game. So there was that moment you talked about there. There was a moment in the first half where he also gets on the half-turn, beats three players and offloads it to Zinchenko. And then his assist for the second Mahrez goal, where he was just like, I'm just going to put the Jets on now.
Yeah.
And, you know, take a ball from...
quick, hey?
Yeah, take a ball from De Bruyne, easily put it across, and bang, that's 2-0. He's a phenomenal player, and he's... We go from good problem to actually... Sorry, bad problem to good problem in that, like, where does he fit in? Now we know he fits in anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And one, just finally, Kate, I just wanted to say that we talked about it, I think, a week or two ago. I forget who it was who was saying it. But some pundit with intimate knowledge of the situation at City was claiming that, like, he's in the top three finishers at the club as well. Huh. And that's at Man City.
You know? Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah, well, incredible, really.
Although he did miss a one-on-one yesterday, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah.
Well, it was offside anyway, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. He still missed it.
True.
It's a great...
record books will simply not show it.
Yeah.
Doesn't even happen.
True. No.
We haven't even talked about Riyad Mahrez, who's, of course, the scorer of the two goals, was on a hat-trick towards the end, but didn't manage to collect it. But I think he'll be all right. He'll be all right with that performance, I think. And
imagine if he tweets us today. You don't know what you mentioned on the Ramble. Two goals in the semi-final.
He's constantly tweeting us. It's actually getting a bit much, Riyad.
He was also the author of one of the top three quotes from players around the game last
time. Come on,
well,
bring it.
Where he said...
Did he say that first goal was channeling Sam Allardyce?
Yeah, big shout out to Allardyce. Started off with that. Pour one out for Big Sam, he said. And he said, they lost their nerve, started kicking us. It was good.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, the quote, to be fair on that quote, it went on to say, it was good that they got someone sent off.
Wash your cut off, though. Cut it off there.
You can't just stop in the middle of a sentence.
You can.
Trying to make an entertainment show here.
Fish.
You can.
And he's a proper serious journalist.
He's a proper serious journalist. Is that what you do then, Rich?
I've seen your ticker on Sky Sports. I know where your cut off is.
So you're hanging out with Wedderburn. Yeah. Say whatever you want to say.
Sometimes you run out of characters.
Yeah.
To be fair, The Independent was never a broadsheet, was it? Even back when they could afford to have a paper.
I think it was a broadsheet, yeah.
Was it? Okay, well, fair enough. No, carry on then.
No, yeah, we'll continue this journalism masterclass.
I think you're the
Yes, either way, it was enjoyable that he was enjoying the reality of what happened to PSG, which, by the way, we were talking about this on the group. This is one of the things I find so fascinating about football generally, is because sometimes, and often people don't know football well, they'll find it ludicrous that you can start making generalisations about sides. For an example, you know, Arsenal. How can Arsenal have the same character over hundreds of years? Many years, anyway. Yeah. Feels like hundreds of years. And the same thing goes for fucking Paris Saint-Germain.
Yeah.
What the fuck, man? Like, they are a bunch of, well, not collectively, I would say, but individually, some of the most impressive players that you'll see on their day, to behave like sort of Sunday league side, just hacking at various players to get sent off Angel Di Maria when things aren't going their way. Am I misreading the game? You're doing a face like I'm misreading the game.
I don't think you're misreading the game. I think you're spot on. I would say it's not specifically a football thing. I cover a lot of cricket, and you see it in that as well. I remember
they just lose their heads and give their wickets away, don't they? And it's so frustrating.
Yeah, sometimes. Well, no, but generally,
Oh, I'm with you. No, or do you mean more about the character of a team?
A little bit of both, because I think what you do is in defeat, you tend to react more as an individual than in success, even in cricket, which is quite an individual team sport.
Yeah.
I remember speaking to Catherine Brunn after the 2015 Women's Ashes when they lost to Australia, and Australia were brilliant. And I kind of framed a question to her where essentially I was like, you know, they seem like a proper outfit now. They were just about to go on like a period of dominance. And I was like, that must feel like, oh yeah, they've kind of set the standard. And she basically told me to shut the fuck up. because she was like, well, no, because like we're good as well. Why couldn't we be that good? And I was like, no, I know, but they're like, they're clearly going somewhere. And she was like, I just don't accept that. And I, you know, you watch that PSG game yesterday and you realise that athletes in general, especially at that level, have a sense of entitlement. You know, they always talk about like what all the hard work they've done to get there and what they deserve to win. But what they see is deserving of their success is kind of what's owed to them. I've put in the hard work to get here. That is mine. Mm. That trophy is mine. That Champions League final place is mine. And when you take it away, they get a bit petulant because that's the sense of entitlement that they grew up with. And it's not a bad thing. It's categorically not a bad thing. Yeah. Because otherwise they wouldn't be so ironclad in their confidence.
But it I mean, you say it's not a bad thing, but I think it does depend on how it manifests itself. I mean, I think there is a difference between wanting really working really hard, wanting to win at all costs and being really ruthless, and what we saw last night from PSG. And actually, to be fair, what we've repeatedly seen from PSG on more than one occasion over a period of time. I mean, Lars on OTC talks about it quite a lot. I mean, he was talking about it on Twitter last night as well. Like it's entirely, I agree with Kate broadly. It's entirely indicative of a culture at a club. And you use the Arsenal comparison and how, you know, Arsenal seem to have been known for this certain type of culture. And, you know, and Mourinho's talked about it in quite kind of damning terms, as you'd expect. You know, talking about Wenger being a specialist in Feyenoord, the rest of it. I don't quite agree.
And I should,
with that.
Of course, say Spurs and various other clubs. You know, I don't want to draw too much criticism, but clubs seem to have that. Yeah.
Some part of it is a media narrative. I think we should make that clear.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
That's definitely part of it. But what we saw last night was essentially a bunch of players, top level athletes, wrapping their hand in because there was no way out for them. And rather than I actually thought the thing Ander Herrera said after the game was absolutely ridiculous. We were the better side for 70 minutes. Well, that's fair enough. That's subjective. We tried it all. We attacked. We are going to leave here with our heads held high. Well, I'm sorry, but you're not. You're not going home with your heads held high because you've embarrassed yourselves. Yeah. And you should at least acknowledge that.
But that's part of the entitlement where they just end up lying to themselves. Like I think PSG have built up on walking Ligue 1 for so long that they're just used to being, you know, the big dogs in town, and they hate it when they're put in their place.
If you look at the 11s that played last night, actually, I would go as far as to say, I'm not sure how many, I mean, Kate, you started off the section by saying they've got a lot of really great players, and of course they have. I'm not sure quite how great a lot some of those players are.
Yeah, and one significantly wasn't there.
But yeah, that's fair enough, and obviously you would obviously include Mbappe and one of the world's best players, of course you would. But my argument would simply be that reputation, having a world-class reputation as a player is forged in moments like this.
Yeah.
And if you can't forge your reputation in moments like this repeatedly, whether it be a final or a semi-final or a quarter-final, whatever, sounds harsh, but I'm sorry, that's kind of how the reputations are made. And that's why I think it is accurate, for example, on the other side of the fence, to say last night was probably a coming-of-age performance for Man City, not just for those players, but for the team and for the club and for the manager, dare I say, who, although has been well-decorated and is one of the very best managers around, has felt like he's not been successful enough in the Champions League and, you know, first final in 10 years. And now he can look back and say, well, actually, that I think they'll look back on that the same way that Manchester United looked back on that 99 semi-final in Turin. Do you know what I mean? It's a different kind of thing. It's not quite a backs against the wall type situation, but they actually proved to themselves they could make that next step. And no one expected United to do it in 99. I remember it well. There was a lot, the odds were stacked against them. There's loads of reasons why they weren't going to do it, not least because Juventus were brilliant at the time. But Man City have done a coming-of-age performance last night in a different kind of way. And I think that's an interesting aspect to it as well.
Whatever the reverse of a coming-of-age performance was that from PSG. Yeah. I don't know if
I mean, they were finalists last year, unless we forget.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, they probably had their own moment of, you know, City's equivalent last year and thought, right, we've come over it now, and then they've just fallen at the same hurdle again.
But that's true. I'm not trying to trivialise what they've achieved. I'm just saying, and this is a bit of an old, maybe this is a bit of an old Graham Souness thing to say, but I think in the context of this conversation, it's an interesting point, at least, I hope. You know, look at that 11 that played last night and tell me, honestly, if you were building the best team in the world or whatever, how many of those players you'd take?
Yeah,
two, three?
Yeah.
Probably no more than that.
And are we being reactionary or simplistic to complain about Neymar? Because I remember when he stepped up to take that free kick towards the end and he couldn't get any whip on it and it just slammed itself over the bar, I was presumably projecting onto him that he was feeling like, oh, you know, if I get this goal,
he probably just made a mistake.
I know, of course he did, but you know,
don't go Joe Barton about it. Never go full Barton.
There's so much projection onto Neymar because of the value that
because of the amount of money that was spent on also him. Because of the kind of style, you know, and the falling over and the
being
a bit wet and all this stuff.
And being one of the best players of the last 5 years, yeah.
Yeah, but not having underachieved.
Yeah.
But if you take last night's game in kind of isolation, I mean, he's got Verratti playing behind him, he's playing like his hair's on fire. Di Maria's been sent off. Icardi's offered absolutely nothing. And
playing like
his
hair's on fire?
Hair's on fire, yeah.
Which hair?
Just running around like a maniac.
I never heard that before. His head hair.
Yeah.
You think his pubes?
It's quite a well-known phrase, Kate.
He'd probably have done better, actually.
I thought leg hair. I don't know any other kind of hair. Chest hair.
Maybe his nuts were on fire. I'd explain a lot about his performance.
No, he definitely didn't move enough for a man who was his nuts were on fire.
No, he did for a very specific period. Just taking everyone out around him.
Yeah. Oh, my God. PSG also didn't have any shots on target throughout the game. In the end.
But that's a funny anomaly, Kate, as a stat, because Ruben Diaz blocked about 48 of them.
Yeah, I know. I never
Some of them
really
could have been
on
target.
Yeah, I
never understand that.
The blocked ones count as a separate category.
Well, you on target, it has to go, you know, at the goal and be stopped, basically on the line. Yeah.
So they had
on the actual line.
Within the goal frame. So, like, for example, Marquinhos hit the post yesterday, and that's not a shot on target.
Yeah, but we all know that the frame of the goal is not on target.
I know, yeah.
How many shots blocked?
Denied by the post.
How many shots blocked do you think they had? The answer is 9.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of shots.
There you go.
So we could say that there were 9 on target, but we can't.
We can't.
Is what we're saying.
No.
For more technical chatter, join us on the Patreon.
do you want to do a bit more about what we're not saying?
Yeah.
Not a bit confusing.
Understand also that Sir Alex Ferguson was seen visiting the Lowry yesterday morning where the PSG team was staying, he and Poch are mates.
He's paying Mourinho's bill, I think.
Someone's fucking got it.
Do you want to settle that up? I know he's a nightmare.
What are these films?
Sounds disconcertingly vague on my bill. Yeah, he was paying Mourinho's bill. He was popping in there because Wings was fully booked up. Well, because, of course, there's no outside space at Wings now.
So,
yeah,
he probably
can't eat there. So he's probably, probably...
Erling Haaland stayed there, so he's probably collecting some of his DNA so he can recreate another one in the lab.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Let's not forget as well, it was Fernandinho's 36th birthday last night. Commentary, we're loving that.
Did you see that moment where, right at the end, when Neymar got, like, unceremoniously bumped off the ball?
Yes.
And he was clearly about to act up.
Yes.
And Fernandinho put his hand on his shoulder and he looked at him and just, like, got up.
Did he?
Come on, mate.
Come on. All right, football dad.
Daddy's
I'll do what
town.
You say. Yeah. Are you just going to leave that Alex Ferguson thing out there hanging, are you? Just
yeah,
for people to make their own
think,
story.
Yeah, I thought that it's because that's more of the football fan fiction that we love. Like, what was going on in there?
He's pals with Pochettino, though, isn't he, Ferguson?
Yeah.
And the PSG owner as well.
Oh, right.
They are quite close.
Who's
yeah.
not, frankly?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, I'm not. Don't say it like everyone here is.
Yeah.
Oh, mate. You've got to live in Canada.
Well, who knows what your connections are?
I know, yeah.
Speak for yourself, Mason.
Yeah. Exactly.
You've taken the Middle Eastern dollar as much as you want in the past.
I have.
Yeah.
It's across...
Quite quiet about the ESL, wasn't she?
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a cross we got it. We've all got a bear.
It's very hard to deal, to compete when you're working alongside and trying and being asked to compete with essentially state-sponsored broadcasters, state-funded broadcasters. You know, she's a representative
difficult.
Of a state. You know, it's difficult.
Yeah, it's difficult. Okay, so in 23 days' time, City will be champions, although not according to Pep Guardiola, who says it's a competition that is so difficult and something in the stars is involved in that.
Yeah.
I don't think he's talking about Kevin De Bruyne, but who knows?
Well, we don't even know where they're going to be playing yet, do we? Different challenge for them.
Who do you think they'd prefer?
It's quite funny because we talk about how Guardiola's taken 10 years. Oh, there you go. Move on.
No, actually, fuck, I've changed my mind, even as I said it. Real Madrid, you prefer Real Madrid. They've obviously lost to Chelsea in the FA Cup. Real Madrid are a bit flaky and old and fat.
I kind of want it to be Real Madrid because Premier League teams doing battle in Europe is always tedious.
Yeah, it is a bit.
It is a bit.
Yeah. But I was going to say, the big argument against how difficult it is for Guardiola to get back up to this top table and do his, and you know, take 10 years to get to a final, is that Zidane's just like waltzed in and gone, yeah, I'll win that. It's fine. So yeah, it does put it in sharp relief. If Guardiola and Zidane face off against each other in the final, it would be an equally tedious subplot and narrative, I think.
I quite like the idea that it is a table because, like, Zidane crops up and is like, oh, is he here? Yeah, Pep's just shot out for a minute, but he should be back soon. And he just kept coming back and it's now his chair. I used to sit there, did you?
Yeah. Yeah, if you squat, well, I bought that. If you squat in a house for 20 years, you get to keep the house.
As little as 20.
Well, I mean,
it's
you have
not
to be,
worth it.
You have to be committed.
It's not worth
to
it.
Live in someone's house that's not yours. You get to own the house. I
thought said like seven. Someone who's had to go through a few evictions, haven't you?
Yeah, very much on the other side of the
yeah.
house. Yeah. Slum landlord Mason. You won't believe a mere 20 years they get to keep it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Chelsea hosting Real Madrid at Stamford Bridge tonight. Hopefully not in snow. That's too bloody weird. Championship relegation battle quickly before we head to a break, shall we?
Yeah, sure.
Rotherham drew with Luton last night, right? So that means that they are now 2 points adrift of Wazza. It says Wazza in the running order. I have never in my life before said Wazza, but I've just... Like Anchorman Jules, I've just read it out. Yeah. I feel
all
quite
of you are
uncomfortable.
Like that. Marcus does a bit of that as well.
I hardly ever do it. I don't. Yeah. Anyway, Wazza's Derby are in 21st. Who's going down? Luke Moore.
Well, I would like to say that we're not realistically going to get a decent relegation battle in the Premier League. So it will be really interesting for the neutral. Obviously, Derby fans and Sheffield Wednesday fans and Rotherham fans have my sympathy. As a Portsmouth fan, I've been there. I know what it can be like. But Saturday lunchtime will be a treat because there is this situation. Now, I don't know, Vish, maybe you know more about this than me. And I know there's other things going on at Derby County. And we should be careful before we kind of stick the boot in at these clubs who are, you know, big, important clubs to their communities having these difficulties. But, I mean... There's no getting away from the fact that the aforementioned Wazza has overseen quite a reign of disappointment, particularly in the last 5 or 6 weeks, where they've just kept losing games over and over again and now find themselves in this position.
What's the thing about marginalising Steve McLaren as well?
Very strange, isn't it?
He's a man who's easily marginalised. Let's be absolutely clear about that.
The whole situation was really wild, wasn't it? Like, Rooney's going to be a manager, but he'll have another manager next to him, and now they're not talking to each other.
Yeah.
And they've gone on this run.
They've won one game since the middle of February, I think.
Yeah. I'm one of my best mates is a Sheffield Wednesday fan, so I've pledged my allegiance to them. But it's, as Luke said, yeah, it is going to be ridiculous. Because Rotherham got Cardiff, and Cardiff can't get, you know, players are all sorted now.
Yeah.
So. Could be something of, right, let's just flex our muscles. And so they could lose there. And then Sheffield Wednesday need to beat Derby and we'll stay up on goal difference. That was the maths I was looking at.
And it all comes down because Rotherham drew last night.
Yeah.
Which put them back in the mix. And I think, you know, you two guys won't have any kind of experience of this with the clubs you support. But my team has gone through. So I'm not even just talking about when Portsmouth relegated from the Premier League or then when they're relegated from the Championship and League One after that. Back in the 90s, the mid to late 90s, the kind of Steve Claridge era of Portsmouth. And by the way, I should give a shout out to Alan McLaughlin, who sadly passed away yesterday. He's only just 54 years old. Tragic, legendary player for Portsmouth as well. Around that kind of era, Portsmouth flirted with being relegated from the second tier. It felt like every single season. And they would get out of it every time. And it made you feel sick. Like when I lived down there and the football club was a big part of my life, obviously I don't live quite close to it. As close anymore, it takes over the whole month when you're getting into it, and so I do have my sympathy. All the teams are involved in this going into this weekend, but for those neutrals, it's a big part of what football's about. Football support's all about, and watching and seeing the drama unfold. And we're not going to get it in the Premier League, so I'm looking forward to seeing what happens on Saturday.
It's good to give it a bit of that context as well, yeah. Because I'm just all like, oh, this is exciting. Sheffield Wednesday up against Derby on Saturday. It's a relegation special, but it's also like people suffering.
Yeah, but what's
all
not
the
mentioned?
Way.
What's not mentioned enough, particularly when it comes from the Premier League down to the Championship. Again, something I've experienced as a fan. It's not actually that bad. You just.
And get parachute payments.
No, it is bad if your team's in financial jeopardy and it's really difficult for lots of different other reasons. Of course, that's bad. But in terms of pure sporting merit, there's loads to enjoy about the English Football League. Like, loads. And so we shouldn't shy away from that. We're just fed this narrative all the time that the Premier League is the only place to be, like the biggest league in the world. And when you feel like you're being excluded from that, it can be quite difficult. But I think what a lot of football fans experience specifically on the pitch is like, look what's happened with Norwich and Watford this season. Well, what happens is you win a lot of games. It's quite enjoyable. It's been difficult this season because fans haven't been able to go. But there's a lot to enjoy about the Football League as well.
Yeah,
I want
definitely.
To make that absolutely clear.
Yeah.
Marcus loves watching Fulham in the Championship.
Yeah.
He says it all the time.
So you know what
You know what we should think about?
Which is handy, really.
A breakaway championship.
We should think about cancelling promotion and relegation.
Oh, right. Yes.
Guys. They had it right all the time.
I think these guys get are onto on the something. Line. I think they're onto something. Let's have a little think about that in this break.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
De Bruyne, De Gea, De Arby.
Oh my God. Welcome back to the Football Ramble with me, Luke and Vish today. In your ears. It's hard to recover from that. Vish has just got his head in his hands.
It's like he was malfunctioning.
I think there needs to be a firm and frank discussion with Martin Tyler this summer. And I'll leave it there.
All right. Or you can email in. Let's get to some of these.
Very self-aware, that one.
Yeah.
I've got nothing else to do. I don't want to do this, but I've got nothing else to do.
The Hawaiian vibe.
That's basically indie music, though, isn't it?
True, I suppose, yeah.
Is that the Hawaiian Vibes one? I'm getting confused now.
Hawaiian Vibes one is like the Jack Johnson-y one.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. But I did still feel as though I could have had a pina colada.
You can listen to it in Hawaii, you can listen to it in Alaska. It's that dexterous a song.
Yeah. Well done, Chris Roger.
Second use of the word dexterous from Vish there.
I have a bad habit of just using the same word over and over again, depending on like... Yeah. What stage of the month I'm in.
Fair enough.
Happens to J.K. Rowling too.
Is that right? Well done, Kate. The way you look at me like that, like I wouldn't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I was looking at you because you got an email.
I have. Yes. It's from James Jennings, J squared. Good to hear from you, James. Thanks for getting in touch. He says, in April 2015, this is relevant to obviously yesterday's Paul Dickoff tale. He says, in April 2015, me and my mate went to our first Manchester derby. Post Fergie, and with City actually competing for titles at this point, our confidence wasn't the highest. After 8 minutes, Aguero scored and we feared the worst, but United managed to score 4 in response. Ashley Young, Marouane Fellaini, Juan Mata and Chris Smalling scoring the 4th in the 73rd minute. I was so excited, I picked my mate up and gave him a big bear hug and I broke 2 of his ribs.
Are you Erling Haaland?
I'd be interested to hear from your friend, James, to know whether he'd rather take the 4-1 win and 2 broken ribs or a 1-0 defeat courtesy of an Aguero goal and a full complement of ribs in the rib cage?
As Jim will tell you, you can't do anything about it.
No, you can't.
You can't. They used to strap you up back in the day, but now they just, it doesn't, you just got to wait it out.
Exactly. You can't do anything. But if you're a Man United fan, if I said to you, you can have Man United to win the title next season, beating Man City on the final day to clinch it, but you have to give 4 broken ribs in response, would you do it?
Yes.
You would do it 4?
Yeah. I'd do that 4, yeah.
How many ribs? Cut off?
Yeah.
I probably want them all on one side so I can sleep.
Okay, it's really quite sore, isn't it?
How many numbers of ribs could I get up to before you say no deal?
How many ribs have you got? No one.
I would say leave me one.
You've got one working rib?
Give me one rib.
No, that's not that's
what
not
do
right.
you even need ribs for?
That's
anyway.
Not right.
Protecting your lungs.
Yeah, they're overrated.
That's not are right. They?
It's like an appendix.
It's categorically
it's
not.
Yeah. It's not.
Oh, dear. Right. Chris Bentley. I still own the Tottenham 1990-91 shirt my parents got for me. Being 9 years old at the time, it no longer fits, but I still have the very vivid memory of wearing it while I watched the glorious Lily White beat Arsenal 3-1 in the semi-final and being so excited, I fell into our garden pond. I still take it out of the cupboard from time to time and marvel at the fact that I used to be that small and my club used to be good.
Yeah.
Oh, was he there? Was he there? Oh, no, he's in the pond, so he wasn't at the stadium. I was about to be extremely jealous that he'd seen the Gazza goal.
It'd be great if there was a... Maybe that's where Fulham got their inspiration
Fulham
from.
Have the swimming pool. We've got the pond.
Pond.
That's classic, isn't it?
Is there a football? Is there a football ground called the Pond?
There's the Dripping Pan. It's a great name. Yeah. Pan Lewis.
Yeah, don't be falling into that. Great to hear from you guys. Show at footballramble.com. As we heard from Chris Roger, thank you very much for your jingle as well, of course, Chris. And tweet us at Football Ramble. Now, it was only Monday when we were wondering why Jose Mourinho is speaking about Inter, who, of course, have enjoyed some recent impressive and, well, not quite unprecedented success. And he was saying, well, sometimes it might be that I have to go and manage a rival. But, you know, I would do that even though I did so well with Inter. What was he talking about? Bish, he was going to go and be the boss of Roma. Plot twist.
Yeah. No one saw it coming, did they? No one saw it coming.
No one saw it coming.
I feel had actually, because I was looking through his Instagram and it was just full of throwbacks.
Was it really?
And I thought.
Oh, yeah, because
like,
he Instagrams quite a lot. I thought that was just because it was 10 years since it happened with Inter.
Yeah, no, it would have been, but they were, they were all throwbacks. And I was a bit like, God, I think he's struggling. You know, when you just like look through old times, you're like, I used to have it good. Yeah. And I didn't realise at the time, but now I'm struggling.
Why are you looking at me? I never had it good.
The point the guys made on Monday is that, yeah, and it is the true one, which is that he's considered pretty differently, it seems like, in Italy to how he is here. Probably because some fans have got short memories, right? And let's not forget, a banner with his name still hangs in the San Siro. He is a hero there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so, I mean, you say outside of here, but I know you've spoken about Mourinho before when he got sacked and you were like, you didn't like it. But part of you would have done. Part of you would have thought, God, if it's still in there somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
I suppose that is the anxiety. If he does go and win the treble with Roma, I'm going to feel like a fucking tit.
I mean, the reputation of what he did at Inter is purely because, I think I'm right in saying, what he achieved there is completely unprecedented in the history of Italian football.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, no other club's ever done it. So it's not like in England where we have seen Man United done it and other places around the world it's been achieved. That's the only time it's ever been done in Italy. So, of course, he's always going to be a legend there for that. But
it's also the only time he's been picked off of a job since Porto.
Mm.
So he's been sacked every other time or, you know, left mutual consent or whatever. Mm. But that was the first time they felt like, you know, he was taken. He did a brilliant thing and then really did want it.
I get the feeling that Daniel Levy might be involved in this. Save a bit of money.
But I think it's excellent. That, I mean, from a Spurs fan, it's good, right?
Yeah, because when you're a Spurs fan, all you actually care about is the money because there's nothing else to care about.
You could spunk it on Bale's wages. Brilliant. Yeah.
That probably will happen.
By the way, was I the only person who thought that he did that after his hat-trick on Sunday?
The listeners can't hear what you're doing.
Yeah.
The Mourinho three fingers thing.
Oh, really?
That's what I immediately thought.
I can remember when Mourinho was at Inter doing this a great job, and he would regularly take the piss out of Roma. because Roma, I think, was it Ranieri's Roma?
Yes, it was.
At some point,
yeah.
Roma were pushing into quite hard for the title.
But they were pushing them.
Yeah, but Mourinho kept saying in his press conferences, zero Titoli, Roma, zero Titoli. Basically taking the piss out of him, saying they never win the title. And now he's there. And it's fascinating to me how Mourinho is this category of individual in football where it seems that no matter how far his star falls, the basement level for his star is still so high that he can still get a job at a team who, okay, don't have an amazing...
Seventh in
Serie A. Yeah, fine, but they don't have an amazing history of winning loads and loads of titles, of course. I think the last time they did it was around the turn of the century or whatever. But they're still a big club. I mean, and the interesting thing about Roma is that they can't necessarily compete with financially with Juventus's and with some of the other teams in Italy because they don't own their own stadiums. It's very difficult to generate a lot of revenue for that reason. Mm. And so they are not necessarily ever going to be able to do that unless things change. But it's a fascinating appointment, because he is such a one-man industry in this sport that it's going to raise the profile of Roma. That's quite an obvious thing to say, but it's going to raise the profile of Roma massively anyway. I'd like to know how Chris Smalling feels about it as well.
I'd like to know how Football Ramble listeners think about it, if we've got any Roma fans in our ranks, show at footballramble.com. But yes, it's quite enjoyable to think of Chris Smalling and Henrik Mkhitaryan and Pedro and various other people who...
You've seen behind the curtain.
They might not. As an Athletic article, I think you sent it to us, Luke, all about what this means for Roma. And there was just a sentence that just went, it hasn't always run smoothly.
No.
I love that they've given him a 3-year deal.
Yeah.
Like the number of people that talk about the third season syndrome under Mourinho, and they've given him a 3-year deal. And it feels a little bit like, you know, you wouldn't rent Reservoir Dogs and then stop watching as you get to the shootout scene at the end, would you?
No.
You want the whole experience.
I love Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
One of my favourites.
But his terms at clubs keep getting shorter, don't they? Because it was only 18 months at Spurs.
But the whole thing with Mourinho is like and I suppose it didn't really happen at Spurs because it didn't amount to three seasons.
Well, no, but
it was that it's fast forwarded.
Yeah,
to that
the point I'm making, yeah. It's just compressed now, so you don't need to do, I don't know anything about Reservoir Dogs, obviously, but you don't need to do.
So it's an hour long Netflix special, is what you're saying? Yeah.
Yes.
You don't need.
You don't
full,
need to do the three.
You don't need to Snyder cut Mourinho. You just need to give it to me in an hour and a half. Right?
Give him a 9-monther, and you can fast forward the whole thing. I reckon, given that he's already laid the groundwork with Smalling and Mkhitaryan and all these other dudes.
Yeah, they already know him. It's fine. Yeah.
Well, it's a touch for him because he's got a good long term deal. They've got no recent history of winning loads of stuff, and it's actually quite a wide open league now. Serie A. So, yeah, you never know. I mean, stranger things have happened.
Right. So you're backing Jose.
Why not?
Let's revisit this in the requisite 9 months, shall we?
Yeah.
Or we'll perhaps ask Nikki Mandini about it later down the line. But she's going to be on OTC tomorrow and going to give us all the true insight into Inter's title win and Jose's new job. That one's out tomorrow on Football Ramble Presents. Subscribe. Join us.
Mm.
That's where the good stuff is. The good stuff is also here. Football's weirdness. It's really seeming to peak at the moment. Did you see the egg thing?
Yeah, this is crazy. And I really think you need to do a really good job of explaining to listeners what this is actually all about, because it's very, very strange.
Well, interestingly enough, I was somewhat disappointed. So it was described to me as, instead of a coin toss for Mariupol, I don't know how to pronounce that, but again, write in, Mariupol's clash with Lviv in the Ukrainian Premier League at the weekend, the captains each used an egg to do the coin toss, and whichever broke, that guy got
lost
to choose.
Coin toss. Like Conkers, I guess.
Oh, it was that way around.
That's what I said, that makes sense.
Like Conkers.
Yeah.
But for some reason, in reading that, I turned that into they hit the eggs on each other's heads.
No.
Before a game, imagine running around with an egg on your head.
So apparently it was to mark Ukrainian Easter. I've never, ever heard of that being a thing before.
No.
In any walk of life.
In a way, it's a little bit, because it's very gentle and delicate, isn't it? When you watch the footage, definitely watch the footage.
It's really underwhelming. In the world of like MMA and boxing, it's very, very, very tame.
What would have been fine in your eyes if that was tame?
Well, don't do it. The coin toss is fine. Don't do it.
Featuring eggs or with or without eggs?
Eggs, any food product. I was just thinking there, actually, they could do it in MLS where they break the wishbone and whoever gets
that's a good
bit,
idea.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
That's not dramatic though. Wishbones are dramatic. That's about as dramatic as one of those, like a really cheap cracker.
None of it's dramatic, really. That's the
thing.
Do
you find a coin toss dramatic?
Yeah. And I think the whole point of a coin toss is it happens really quickly before the actual game, which is why everyone's there.
Yeah.
In tennis and stuff, they try and hype it up, don't they? They put like a fake coin on the big screen. Like, yeah, yeah. Ooh, what's going to happen?
In the Big Bash League, the T20 competition in Australia.
But the toss is massive in cricket.
Yeah, but in Australia, they use a cricket bat and they flip it. So if it lands on the... It's called heels and flats. So if it lands flat side facing up, that's flats,
absolute bullshit. I'll tell you what, that's bullshit. Because mathematically speaking,
yes,
a coin is totally even.
Yeah.
It's totally even.
Whereas surely that's
a heel or a flat.
But it's not a real cricket bat. They use something with they've got the width right and they've just written heels and flats on it. Because it's something you do in park cricket. You just throw a bat in the air.
Well, exactly. But in park cricket is what I guess Luke is talking about. What would you like to have seen eggs done with then, Vish? I feel as though you sidestepped that.
Well, so like, have you thrown eggs at someone, but like to catch them?
No.
So that's quite fun.
Were you there when we were talking about egging the other day?
Yeah.
I actually got away with that under the radar because I have actually egged.
So it's quite a good, you know, Mason, you've been in the nets recently. It's quite a good way of like developing soft hands.
Oh, how to catch soft hands.
Yeah, okay. So like you throw it back and forth and whoever cracks it, they're the
So you think that would be better as a coin toss?
I just think it'd be quite fun. Imagine just chucking it from like, you know, 60 yards. Trying to catch it.
I don't understand the point of it.
So then you catch it and it doesn't break.
Yeah, so the whole point is just to try and catch it so it doesn't break, yeah.
Oh, right. Okay, I like it. So that's what you do instead of a coin toss.
Coin toss is fine. Yeah. Let's agree with that.
No, egg-related, I'd do that. Obviously egg the coin related. Toss is fine, yeah.
A bit unfair there. Also, in other sort of not egg-related but similar sort of vein news, did you see the drone having the shit kicked out of it?
This is what I wanted to get to. This is the stuff. This is the stuff.
So been waiting.
In Argentina, Newell's Old Boys lost 3-0 to Rosario Central, right? And obviously there's no fans in the stadium. So a bunch of Rosario Central fans flew a drone in with a banner on the bottom of it, slagging Newell's Old Boys off, basically, giving them a load of shit. And the thing was, I don't know if they had full visual on where they were flying it because they flew it way too low and the banner would only end up about 5 foot off the ground. So the nearest Newell's Old Boys player grabbed it, pulled it to the ground, and you'd think he was just going to pick it up and put it on the side of the pitch, say, well, let's get on with the game. He ended up just kicking the shit out of it. And then another player came over with the ball in his hand because he was about to take a corner, smashed the ball into the drone as well, and they just threw it to the side like it was nothing. It was so dramatic. It was just great to watch.
I think that's an appropriate reaction.
Do you?
Yeah, I quite like that.
Drones are quite flimsy though.
This one was a very cheap looking one.
Right.
It wasn't one of the kind of so there's a
I'm just pitching the scene where like R2D2 where Short Circuit gets Johnny Five.
Yeah.
When he just gets the shit kicked out of him and he's like, ow.
It was a bit like that.
Ow.
But there's a certain brand of drones where you buy them, they're about £50. You spend ages trying to work out how to fly them and the battery runs out and you've got to charge it again and the whole process continues. It was a bit like that. It certainly wasn't like your kind of David Attenborough Planet Earth flying with a camera on it. It was a terrible, it was like an Argos drone, right? And it broke so easily as well. But I just thought it was an interesting story.
So actually they perhaps anticipated the reaction when they bought the drone, not going for the
maybe
top
they
of the
thought,
range
they,
one.
Maybe yeah. they thought, you know what, it's a completely expendable drone. This is probably going to go wrong, but we want to make our point nonetheless.
More Champions League action to come tonight. It's Chelsea 1, Real Madrid 1 on aggregate. Now look, guys, I don't think we've had a chance to mention it yet. Chelsea women, there's already one English team in the Champions League final. They won 4-1 against Bayern in the return leg on Sunday. It was absolutely brilliant performance for Emma Hayes, from Emma Hayes' side to win that. So it's, you know, 5-3 on aggregate the win, but it's, so it sounds like it was comfortable-ish on the night as well, 4-1, but it was so exciting right up to the last minute. Brilliant goal as well from Bayern Munich to spice things up. But also
like one of the goals of the season.
One of the goals of the season. Ping. Gotta love that. Sarah Sanchez-Hill with that. But you've also got to love Emma Hayes' post-match press conference, which on the Guardian live feed was described as almost as good as the game itself, and the game was fucking good. She said,
she is refreshingly frank.
She said, yeah. I tell you, I'm going to have a nice sing-song and I'm going to cry all the way home because, mouths silently, I'm so fucking happy.
And we talked about Guardiola, didn't we, having this build-up of getting to the apex of what he wants to do with City. Well, Emma Hayes has been at Chelsea for a long time, right? This would be a massive, massive moment for her. Almost 10 years since she took the job, so it was incredible. And you're right, the performance was amazing. The game was really good. And that goal particularly was incredible.
Right up until the last minute as well, there was like chance after chance in the 88th. And then after stoppage time as well, they had a chance.
Yeah, it was manic, yeah. Because the goal they scored was with the fourth goal they scored was when the keeper had already come up. But I was quite impressed with, very impressed with Sam Kerr, because she took a while to get to grips with like football in the UK. And then suddenly she's just become a bit more all action, dropping back. And her and Fran Kirby are... sight to behold.
So they played Barcelona in the final, right?
Yeah.
I know Chelsea women's haven't won the women's Champions League before. Have Barcelona got a better record? I don't really know much about Barcelona as a
No, they're new. They're a sort of new side in the women's game. Obviously.
Well, which is why the joke thing happened with the ESL. Yeah, it's like all these new teams are coming up. Yeah.
Well, the Barcelona sound as though they're good. I mean, they've got a quite good men's team.
Yeah.
And it's also just the second English team to get to the Women's Champions League final after Arsenal, who won it in 2007.
Yeah.
Emma Hayes, will they be getting a day off? No. They'll be in bright and early tomorrow, she said. This was obviously on Sunday, so on Monday, and they're playing tonight.
I heard her doing a radio interview yesterday where she said that if I didn't win the final, someone said, what would you do if you don't win the final? She said, I'll probably just go to the pub. and the interview on the radio said, I'll come with you if you want. She went, yeah, you come down if you want. She's just so frank. It's really refreshing. It's great.
Was it someone you'd want to go to the pub with?
I can't remember. I think it might have been Max Rushton.
Oh, maybe. We all like to go to the pub with Max Rushton.
Max Rushton is fine, isn't he? Lovely fella.
He owns a stake in a very good cricket bat manufacturer.
Who, Max?
Yeah, so I'd quite like a stick, actually. So
there you go.
I'd go for a drink with him.
Yeah. All right, we can work on this. This is a pod crossover to see.
Do you want this in your own time?
In the men's tonight, the big news for Real Madrid, and I don't fully understand how this has happened because we mentioned it in the build-up. Marcelo, he is going to be there. He was able to. He did have to do polling duty, but he's managed to clock off early. Apparently an elderly lady has offered to cover for
him. Why can he find someone younger? Why is he an old woman?
He's undermined democracy there.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. Especially as he's going to be in a private jet across, apparently.
Yeah. Man of people. I always, whenever I go and vote, which I'll obviously do tomorrow, I always take a little present to the people working in the polling.
Do you really?
Yeah.
That's quite sweet.
They're there all day.
I take chocolates, but not like a present.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, just chocolate or whatever, you know.
I thought you just got... Because it's always the same people. I wonder if you got to know them so well. You're like,
24 beers. No, I don't take them beers. But they're sat there from like... It's such a long day. So you've got to give them a little bit of a credit. So
have maybe a toke on that.
Marcelo's just...
Insight.
Marcelo's just knocked off early. I'll go play football now.
Oh, my bad. He did actually travel with the squad. Sorry, Marcelo. Oh. I was making you out to be a guy in a glass house. And trying to throw some stones. Do I mean a glass house? In a glass palace. In a golden palace. Sergio Ramos.
Someone want to give Kate a reset?
In an egg palace. Throwing an egg at a golden palace.
Sergio Ramos also fit, expected to start. Speaking of big game preparation, Lionel Messi invited the Barcelona team and their partners to his house for a barbecue.
Yeah, apparently he's being investigated for potentially breaking COVID.
Fuck. I was wondering that.
Regulations, yeah. That's what was being reported today. So I'm not sure what's going to happen with that.
God, they got a big clash with Atletico this weekend. They're all going to have to stay home. That's the worst team bonding exercise ever, isn't it? You don't have a team after that.
Do you reckon Simeone did like a Messi impression and called all the players up? Oh, come round to my house and do the barbecue.
He's not above that. Yeah. He's definitely not above that.
Yeah, and called the feds. Well, guess what they're doing.
Not above that, yeah.
Before we go, just wanted to let you know that we've got a brand new episode of Between the Lines with Melissa ready for you. She's been speaking to the Exeter chairman, Julian Tagg, about their fan ownership model. Very relevant in the current era. She also spoke to the author Joshua Robinson about the history of club ownership in the Premier League. Paints a vivid picture of where we're at now and where we might be heading next. You can listen and subscribe now via your favourite podcast app. That's Between the Lines with Melissa Reddy. I'm off to do that just now. That's not true. I've already subscribed.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't double subscribe. It's like you can't like something twice.
Sit here pretending you haven't subscribed to Melissa Reddy's fine work.
Outrageous. Liar. I'm going to get out of here. Nice to see you, Vish.
It's been a pleasure.
Ah, and Luke.
Nice to see you too, Kate. And nice to speak to everyone listening. Thank you very much for your time today.
We've all had a lovely time together. I hope you have had too, dear listener. On tomorrow's show, Marcus, Andy and Pete. We'll see you then.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.